Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's a Friday night, and Barb is out gallivanting, so I thought I would record a quick episode and get this one out. So I asked for a few questions to talk about today, and I got four or five of them, so I'm gonna tackle those first, and then I'll talk about some stuff. So, Bill Bear on Twitter said, "What do you think of Jokes and Riddles so far?" Well, I've only read one of them, and there's two out, and I liked the first one. Surprisingly, there was one panel that I remember that I didn't enjoy. Actually, not one panel, it was one page. And it was because of the dialogue again. I have such a hard time with Tom King's dialogue, and I try to read it out loud, and I'm just like, it kind of drives me crazy. But that issue I thought was pretty good. Where I think that issue failed for me though, is I didn't get a good idea of time. Like this is supposed to take place like within his first year or so, right after year one. But nobody tells you that. I mean, I just happen to know that because I listened to an interview with them. But you shouldn't have to listen to an interview to know that. You should have like a caption that says 1 year after X or something like that to explain it. And you don't even get a good concept of time. Like you don't even know if the Catwoman stuff is current or if it's in the past, until like the very last page when they're in the sack together, and you get an idea that he's telling her a story of what happened during this riddles and jokes, or jokes and riddles. So, yeah, I liked it. I still have some problems with it. I thought it was pretty good. I haven't read the second one yet. I've been in a weird, not a weird mood, but I guess it's normal for me. I've talked many times of me being a mood reader, and this is gonna shock you. I haven't been in the mood for DC for 2 weeks, maybe going on three. I've read a couple, but I've been into the Marvel. I've been reading a ton of Iron Man. I'm reading like three volumes simultaneously, and I'm having a good time with it. So if I'm upstairs, I'm reading one volume. If I'm downstairs, I'm reading another volume. I just finished Invincible Iron Man, Volume 1, and that's because the original title, even though it had Invincible in it, in the indicia or whatever they call it inside the front page, it was Iron Man. It started off as Iron Man, so it stayed Iron Man in my database. So that's volume one. But when this the Matt Fraction volume one of Invincible Iron Man is I just finished it. So that gives you a good idea of where I'm at. And then I started volume two. And I read a few of the Iron Mans, and I'm just having a really good time. I'm in the Bendis run of Iron Man and Invincible Iron Man now. So I finished Volume 1, Volume 2, and I'm going to start. Oh, and you know what kicked all this off was International Iron Man. It was only like seven issues. I absolutely fell in love with it. It was a Bendis title, and it was a story of Tony Stark and his parents, and I got so hooked on it. But I go off on tangents, and we're talking Batman. So I'm one issue behind on Batman, maybe two, three issues behind in Detective. I used to be all caught up, like when 50, not New 52, but Rebirth relaunched. I would stay caught up. I would do a podcast, Deasley Weekly Reads. That's kind of gone by the wayside, and I need to rethink how I'm going to do this. Like, not only is summertime really busy for me with vacations, and it makes work extra hard because I have to take vacation. So that means I have to be way ahead of schedule for certain things. And I work a lot of hours, so I'd like to podcast more, but I'm at my limit. And DC Noise is going to suffer for it. I'm pretty good with Geek Brunch because I alternate between the two on Sundays. And Sundays is a good time for me. You know, Sunday morning I wake up, I take Harley, and I record either Geek Brunch or Geek Brunch Retro. And hopefully, even when I can't do a Geek Brunch Retro, they'll continue to be able to fill in the gap. So far that hasn't happened. You know, Rob and Chris haven't been able to do that, but hopefully in the future when I am not there, they can do that, because I have another big vacation coming up. But anyway, I've been on this Iron Man kick, and it hasn't ended yet, and it's gone for 2 weeks, so haven't read any DC. So Jokes and Riddles, okay. As far as this run of Batman, probably one of my least favorite runs of Batman in history. Just me personally. And it has nothing to do with plot. It has more is that there's dialogue. And even in the last two issues, I hate to say this, but I love my friends. And I love when they get call-outs. But that takes me out of the story, too. I'm like, okay, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so. I can't even read this fictional story without thinking about my friends. And it takes me out of the Batman story. So there's another complaint. But I'm glad it's working for so many people. Like, there's people that just are really ecstatic about Tom King's Batman. And I'm glad that it's clicking with some people. You know, everybody has their pet peeves, and I talked about mine in length on Retrocast when me and Rob were talking. So check that out. Even though it was not retro, we sometimes open up with contemporary comics. And Geek Brunch Retrocast, his rule is the comics that we choose to read are 10 years or older. But sometimes we talk about current events and how it's affecting us before we start. Kyle, who I really appreciate because he always retweets the shows, like, Not everybody does that, but Kyle's always there. Like, I'll put out a show, he always retweets it. And he was my first guest on Mike M's Collector's Corner, which is really late. And I have one person in the queue, but I haven't had time. It's not his fault. It's totally mine. So I hope to get a Mike M's Collector's Corner, because that's always fun. It's always fun to go into people's and see how they collect comics and what comic books mean to them and how they started and why we're in this crazy hobby that makes us so happy. But he says, Mike, how did you survive 4 days with Bill at Heroes? We talked about this at length. And Geek Brunch, the latest episode. Listen to the last 2 minutes and you'll hear a lot of craziness. But I spend, even when we go to the con, I spend most of my day with Bill. The only difference this time was that we were in the same room. So usually we're in the same hotel, but not the same room. Well, he was in the same room, so we always get this this room that has, it's essentially two rooms. It's got a bedroom, and then it's got like a living room, and then it's got a couch that folds into a bed, and that's where he slept. So and he's got some weird sleeping habits. Like, he brings a listening machine, like, you know, one of those machines that's supposed to calm you down. So And it plays like four different sounds. One's like the ocean, one's like the forest and birds, and one's white noise, just like that's what he likes to listen to. But one is a heartbeat, bump, 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 bump. So we that was weird. And then he turns it up, and then he puts earplugs in his fucking ears. So he doesn't have to hear the noise, but everybody else does. So that's a weird thing. But I could talk to Bill about comics and like what happened during the day, like all night long. Like there was one night, I think it was a Friday night. I was dead tired because I got like 4 hours of sleep the night that we traveled on Thursday night, and then like 3 hours of sleep the next day. Maybe it's Was it the Wednesday? No, it was Friday night. So I wanted to zonk out. So it was like midnight, or it was, I think it was 11:30, and Bill decided to go to the West. I thought they were going to the Westin, but they ended up going to the downtown area to have a few drinks. And I went to bed. Like I passed out within like 5 minutes of laying in the bed. And then 11:30 or midnight, work called and they had a problem, and I was on the phone with them for like 40 minutes. And then my adrenaline came up, and then Bill got home, and then we ended up talking about comics and what have you the rest, another hour and a half before I went to bed. So I didn't get much sleep that night, even though I went to bed early. So that answers your question. It's always, in all honesty, I love Bill, and I could talk to him forever. I can't imagine if I would be in the same state as any of my podcast friends, because I think it'd be amazing. Just even if it's twice a month, where I could go physically be with them and just talk to them, and go to local conventions with them, or go shopping for comics, or just talking about them on the deck. It would be amazing. But if you get a chance, listen to Geek Brunch, and you'll get a little more idea of what Heroes Con was with Bill. So let's see, I think I have two more questions. Oh, Steven Evers, who I also met at Heroes Con, he's been a listener of the show. He's actually wrote emails, which I really appreciate, to me about various topics over the last, I don't know, maybe it's 3 years. I think I've gotten one every other year or something like that. But he was actually at Heroes, and I got to meet him, took a picture with him. Fantastic guy. Probably, if he does end up going again, I'd like him to hang out with us a little bit more and get an idea of what we do. But he asks, what are some under appreciated or under the radar titles from the big two right now? He says he thinks Hulk is quietly one of Marvel's best titles. I agree with that assessment. The only thing is, it says current titles, like if you're caught up. And man, well, I happen to be caught up on Hulk, except for the last issue. And Hulk right now is Mariko Tamaki, I think is her name. She's also writing Supergirl Being Super, or Being Human. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a deluxe format 4-issue series. I've read the first three, and I gotta finish the series. It's way better than the actual Supergirl monthly title, in my opinion. But I agree with the Hulk. In terms of art and story, like it's just so captivating on what's going there. It's like a mind thing. She's been through a lot, and she didn't actually Hulk out until like I think it was 5 issues in. So if you're looking for a punch 'em, rock 'em, sock 'em title, you're not gonna want to read the Hulk. But if you're looking for a well written, suspenseful title, about somebody who fears to even go out. It's a very interesting title, and the plot's very interesting. I'd highly recommend The Hulk. The other one that I'd recommend right now that I am caught up on in the Marvel side is Daredevil. I think that Charles Soule's doing a solid job with that. And that one, I don't know if that one was under the radar as Hulk, because Daredevil's always sold fairly well since Kevin Smith took over. You know, I mean, it has some dips, but it's been a pretty solid book. And in my eyes, it's been solid since Frank Miller. And then I went back and read all the other stuff, and it's been solid. So, like, Daredevil has always been a book that, and there's still some Daredevil in the Wade run that I haven't finished yet. And maybe in the Ed Brubaker run I still need to finish. So I still got a lot of Daredevil. I do have almost every Daredevil ever published. I'm about 7 issues away, and I did get the big 1 and 2. So what else is really good? Superman and Action are really, really good for me personally. Those aren't under the radar, though. I gotta look at the question a little bit more. I would say Commandy, under the radar. Nobody's buying that. That is really good. And also Doom Patrol. Probably not for everyone, but if you enjoy Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, I think you'll enjoy Daniel Way, not is it the singer from Chemical Romance. Is it Daniel Way? I think it is. But I think you'll enjoy that quite a bit. It's had some shipping problems, which breaks up the momentum. Let's see, underrated DC. Trying to think of what's underrated. DC right now is publishing a lot of big name titles. They're not taking a lot of risk. All the risk that they're taking is in young Animal, and like Cave Carson is one that I really enjoy as well. I think that's underrated. I haven't started Bug yet. Batgirl has been really, really good, but I wouldn't say that's underrated or under people's radar. Shield, a Nick Fury, I think it's just called Nick Fury. That one is not for everyone, but if you like Straczynski, Steranko, old Nick Fury, Agent of Shield, you will appreciate what's going on there artistically, and they're kind of like done in one stories that you could read just as one issue, but they have like an underlying theme. Man, I really wasn't prepared to answer that, but it's probably because I'm behind. I'd probably say Iron Man because. But I haven't read Infamous Iron Man, and I haven't read Invincible Iron Man. But I see where it's going. Like, I know that one has Doom in it, in Invincible Iron Man, and Infamous is Riri. And I'm seeing all the seeds being planted in the titles I'm reading now. So I can imagine that's going to be really, really good. So I hope I answered that question, but it's hard for me to like say, hey, because I am a library reader. I read what I want when I want. Like right now I'm reading The Circle from Action Lab. I'm reading The Iron Mans, and that's about it right now. I'll probably read some more Iron Man tonight. I'll probably finish that one volume and then enter the next two. I've been wanting to get into the Star Wars titles again because I'm so far behind. And I thought I would start with... I'm a sucker for when they take adaptations. So I kind of wanna read Star Wars: The Force Awakens again and see how that works. And I had a hell of a time finding it. I knew I had ordered it. I have like multiple contingency plans. I know DCBS, you could do a search. I came in, I received it. I have it in my database, but then finding it is another question. And I can't find a way that would make me happy. I think there's a way for me that I want to set out to improve. I've talked about my archiving and how I do everything, and everything's been like a well-oiled machine lately, except finding things. And at least what I'm thinking about adding is, this is something I got from Mike M's Collector's Corner from Bob Breetal, but he reads differently than me, so it works easier for. So he'll like get a short box. He gets his boxes in. He says, "Okay, here's my to-read books," and then when he reads them, he files them by company and alphabetically in a box, labels that box, and then goes into Comic Base and says, "This issue is in this box," so he knows exactly. And then if you have a Guinness Book of World Record like he does, you have to be able to know where everything is, 'cause you get audited. They might audit your collection. They go in and say, "Oh, where's the randomly pick issues? Where's Batman number 255? Oh, it's in box C44." And then you take them to C44. I would love to have that system, but mine is more chaotic than that. I try to do merges every now and then that help me dramatically, but man, it's hard. It is hard with so many books. But what else did what other question did I get? I think that was it. And then I'm gonna mention one question that Rob asked me in a about last episode. I might as well answer it here. But he asked me, "Okay, you want an issue of Smash Comics and Crack Comics? Do you want Black Condor and the Ray on the cover, or is it okay if they show up in a circular, like the non-featured character?" And I'd prefer if they're featured on the cover, like as the main story, rather than a feature. But I'll settle if they're in a circle. Like when I was looking at Police Comics, I don't think there was a comic there that had Phantom Lady featured on there. It was mostly Plastic Man and stuff. But they would always have like Phantom Lady and the Human Bomb in a circle, so they were featured there. So I would settle for that, but I prefer to have like there. I found a Crack comic with the Ray on it. There's two that I found. One of them, Bomer, stopped me from buying, and I really shouldn't have listened to him. I should have listened to my instinct. Because he was bothered by the stamp. There was like three stamps on it. I wasn't bothered by that. Some people are bothered by that. He was bothered by it and said, "Probably look for a better issue," but I haven't found one since. I was more bothered by the one I found this last time that was just beat to hell. Like it was, the binding was all just torn up to shreds. The cover looked okay, but it wasn't intact. So I want something that's intact. Hopefully like a VG or VG minus. But that's what I would like. So that's for that question. So I think that answers the questions. Now I'd like to I was just listening to Nerdy Legion. I highly, if you guys listen to Geek Brunch and you enjoy Geek Brunch, I think you will really enjoy Nerdy Legion, because the one thing about Geek Brunch that I'm proud of is I never know what I'm going to get. Yeah, we have like a rough agenda of what we're going to talk about, but what I think you get to know is the personalities of the hosts, and that sometimes means a lot more than the content. At least for me it does. Like, they often talk about video games, which I don't give two shits about ever since Atari and ColecoVision are gone. Dreamcast, I haven't cared, but I'll listen to them talk about it. For their episode 100, they talked anime. Don't care about that. Never have. I've dipped my toe in that. I've dipped my toe in it, and I tried it, and I watched. I even tried several genres, and God, I was painful. I couldn't make it through. But I enjoyed them talking about it. So I think a lot about finding a podcast is finding the host that resonates with you on more levels than just comics, but what their thoughts are about everything. And I look for podcasts that are not formatted and a little more chaotic. Matter of fact, there's only one podcast that I listen to that is formatted. Everything else is a chaotic mess because I like it that way. But I'd recommend listening to Nerdy Legion, especially if you like Geek Brunch. They had talked about if they had to go to prison on a go to a desert island. I like the prison analogy better, but what books they'd take with them, you know? And that's a common question, I think, that we've even answered on several podcasts, and I think every year my list changes. But I'll just talk about briefly, Identity Crisis has been on there since day one. Like, I love that book. And every time I read it, I am in tears. And it doesn't matter how many times I read it. And it has every single hero that I love in there in some form or fashion. So I would get everything I want. That is a must one. And then I'd have to go with a Flash run. And that'd be tough to pick which one do you pick. Well, I know it'll be the Wally West Flash Volume 2 that came out of Crisis. But if I was limited to a certain, they limited to 50 issues, I think I would take somewhere after, Jeff Johns ran with it for about 12 issues, and then take off from there and go 50 and keep those 50. So if it's 50 issues of, I'd have to do a Flash. I'd have to do a Daredevil, him being my favorite character. Now Daredevil's tough for me because the arcs are just, like, there's certain stories that resonate with many, many, many writers. Frank Miller, Brian Michael Bendis, Kevin Smith, Ed Brubaker, some of the Mark Waid stuff, Charles Soule. I mean, there's just so much good stuff. Even the early stuff I enjoy quite a bit. So, what would I do? And after thinking about it, I'd probably take the first volume of when Bendis took over from Kevin Smith and take that with me. So I got a Flash, I got a Daredevil, I got Identity Crisis to cover like a lot of characters. On another Marvel, surprise, I have a lot of Marvel, is I take the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther. If I could take 50 issues of that, I would do that. That's how much I love that. And that one has many dimensions to it. And that'll take care of my two favorite characters on the Marvel side. So you got Flash, a Daredevil, Black Panther, and Identity Crisis. That's four. So if I go five, God, it gets starts to get tough. You know, it's like, well, I love so much stuff. What do you take? Well, I would have to go with some Engelhart Defenders, just because that got me into collecting. And I would take the ones with the Sons of the Serpent. I'd take that masterwork with me, with the Sons of the Serpent, and read the hell out of that over and over again. That takes me to five. If they ever collected a Before Watchmen, I would take that. The whole run of Before Watchmen, because I loved it. And take that as six. David Michelinie. Man, what do you do? Do you do the Iron Man stuff, or do you do the Spider-Man? Well, in this case, I think I'd do Spider-Man. David Michelinie in the Todd McFarlane run of Spider-Man. And then you have Eric Larson. Ah! So that would take a spot. So I'm already in six. I think I would take Long Halloween. The thing I like, and it could be just because it's current in my brain, but the thing I really love about it is it has all the villains. It's a detective story. It's where Batman really doesn't solve shit. It just kind of happens. And I like that. And I love the ambiguity of the ending. There's so many dimensions. I could read it over and over again and see it. So I think that would make a Batman list. I think I'd take Crisis on Infinite Earths. So I'm like at seven or eight. That's a 12-issue series. And the reason I take that is because I get every DC character in that. And that's when I got pumped. Like, before Crisis happened, I think I was getting Teen Titans, Superman, of course, Batman books, Wonder Woman. I've always been into the Wonder Woman. That's another one that hasn't made the list, but man, I don't know what I would do. So I take that just because of it's got so many dimensions for me. I love DK3, but I would wait until they have some kind of super collection. Or I'd take all the hardcovers. No, that's what I'd take. I'd take all those hardcovers that came out in that little folder and read them. So that takes me to almost, I don't know, eight or nine. I'm surprised how much Marvel stuff is in it, but I think my mode is Marvel. I think I would take Mark Grunwald's run of Cap somewhere, anywhere in there, especially with the Serpent Society and Diamondback, because that was awesome, Captain America. Really cool. And what else? If I had one more, I'd just say Exo Man of War Volume 1. If I could take that hardcover of just the first four, I mean the first series, I think I'd enjoy the hell out of that. Like I can reread that, even issue one over and over and over again. I love it. So that's just a quick, off the tip of my tongue list. Now I'm going to get into the weekly reads. Going to see Spider-Man tomorrow too. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it because the guy reminds me of an old man, but should be good. I don't expect it not to be. Well, I want to talk about one other thing. Moods. When I first saw Hellboy and Hellboy 2 at the theater, I thought they were all right. I enjoyed them. Never talked about them ever again. Well, I recently rewatched them, and I watched Hellboy 2 twice in a row because one time was kind of half-ass. Like, while I was bagging and boarding comics, I was watching through the corner of my eye, and I said, "Man, this is too good. I gotta absorb it again." I fell in love with those movies. I fell in love with them. And back then I wasn't. And now it's happening with the spirit. Okay, the spirit, I went by myself, I'm pretty sure, without Barb to go see it because she wasn't too crazy about seeing it. And I'm watching it now, and I'm seeing so many dimensions in there and so many things to love. And I really didn't click with me when I first saw it. And now it is. So I would recommend if something didn't work with you in theater or movies, or maybe you ought to revisit when you're older, because those movies rock my world. A matter of fact, it made me want to revisit The Phantom, which I did enjoy when I saw it at the theater, with Billy Zane. And I want to revisit Alec Baldwin's The Shadow now too. And we'll see how that goes. But let's talk about books from Halloween to November 6th. Again, Netflix, the old Netflix scale is 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I mean, 3 is I like it. 2 is I did not like it. 1 is I hated it. We'll start from the bottom. And this was last year. I'm going to lap myself if I don't start picking the speed up. I'm going to do two of them this week just to try to catch up a little bit. That week I read 30. That seems to be the magic number for me. And you're like, what the fuck do you get like 250 comics a month if you average 100 and, 120 books probably a month reading? I can't answer you that. I just say I do. And then I got that library mentality, so I sometimes go on massive reads. Had 8 Marvel, 21 DC, 1 abstract. We'll start at the bottom with the 3 out of 5s, meaning I liked it. The last one I liked was Midnighter and Apollo number 2. This was the second issue. I think I gave number 1 a 4 out of 5. I liked it more. This one had Midnighter has to travel to the underworld and fight Neuron to get Apollo, who is dead. It kind of introduces that. It introduces Xtreno, which, man, I think it's his first appearance since the New 52, and it might be his first appearance since, god dang, New Guardians that spun off of Millennium. It's been a long time since we've seen Xtreno. Then we got Batman 66, number 5. This one had, actually, I think I labeled this wrong. This is Batman 66 and the Avengers. Because it had the Appeal villain versus Mr. Freeze and the Appeal villain. I don't know. I do not know much about the Avengers. I never saw the show. I haven't even watched the movie, the remake. But in this series, it was very, very interesting. Made me interested in these characters. And I think I rated some of the other ones that came up higher rating. We have a 3 out of 5, Batman number 10. Wow, this is a Tom King one. 3 out of 5. Still not feeling it. This is the Cat one. Catwoman letter over Batman going to ask for Psycho Pirate from Bane. Another bat, he is destroying bat planes on, like crazy. Which and then he had Naked fighting Bane, and he loses. He purposely got captured. So I wasn't feeling it. And I think I read that one twice. Don't ask me why. We got a 4 out of 5. Starts with Motor Girl number 1. This is a woman and an ape that manage a junkyard in the desert, and there are aliens involved. This is a weird plot. Very well executed, very interesting, very different. I recommend it. That's Terry Moore. Next up, a 4 out of 5 is Nightwing number 8. This is the Raptor conclusion and the relationship with Dick's mother. That ended really weird. But I did enjoy it. And it was kind of creepy that the Raptor relationship to Dick Grayson's mom. I had Cyborg number 4. This is where he fights his programming and tries to get out of his missing memory back, which they purposely programmed his missing memory, his father did. He gets it back, except for the part about who his lover was, who was Sarah, who's one of the scientists that works at Star Labs. So we have a Shade the Changing Man, number 1, volume 1. This is the Steve Ditko one. I reread this, and it was kind of cool to read this along with the other one that's going on from Young Animal. But it's Shade is a prisoner that escapes and got an M vest. His ex-fiancée is trying to track him down. He stops a villain and goes after a person who framed him. Because he was actually in a prison in this series, so that was really cool. We had Marvel Premiere number 3. This was a Doctor Strange story. Had Barry Windsor Smith art, and it was versus Nightmare. Someone uses Nightmare to fight Doctor Strange. That was a cool issue. Really cool art. I think I have a full. I don't remember if this is. If I have a full one of Marvel Premiere, I believe I do, except for some Doctor Who issues, which I'm not in a hurry to feel, because I'm not a fan of Doctor Who. Oh my God, not a fan of Doctor Who. We got Marvel Team Up number 101. This was a cool issue. Recommend it. I think this one was in the Defenders Epic Collection. And even though I have a full run of Defenders, I read this in the Epic Collection. This was a Nighthawk Marvel team-up with Spider-Man. This Nighthawk killed his girlfriend while drunk driving and believed her dead, but father gave her money to kind of, go away, stay away, and then she's seeking revenge in the future. And then they had a weird story where Nighthawk dropped, he was upset about his confidence. And he accidentally dropped a building on a handicapped girl because he was frustrated and just started to smash stuff. Very interesting story. Harlequin number 7 is a 4 out of 5. This is where punk rockers taken out by Harlequin and the Penguin guest stars. This is when she was in the band to try to find out who murdered her friends. We have Catwoman Election Night. This one I enjoyed. I know a lot of people didn't. This was a Prez story, so if you're a fan of Prez, the female, I'd recommend it. Prez goes back to the 20 Cent issues. It was about a teenager that became president, and then they relaunched it in New 52 with a female. Really good story. I haven't finished it yet. I should finish that. I think I don't know why I haven't finished it. It's a Catwoman story where she uncovers the murder is a woman from her orphanage that she grew up with. And then it was very political. So the Penguin was kind of acting like Donald Trump, and the female orphan was like Hillary. So, very interesting. If you're not into the contemporary events of the election, you probably be turned off by this if it's too close to home. We have Ever After. This is the Fable stuff, number 3. The Wolf Son was not dead, and Hansel is out on a con out of the contract, and that some tattoo guy was murdered. I've liked this story, but I've fallen behind because there was one issue that went away from the spy stuff and got into something with the lead spy, and it totally lost me, and I haven't been able to get back in the mood to read it. We have Shade the Changing Girl number 2. Like this series much more at the beginning than I did do currently. This is Mila tries to find the vest. Shade goes back to school and confronts the students that may have put her in a coma. Because the girl in the coma was taken over by Shade. So she's trying to find out who she was, and finds out she's not a very likable person. We have Frostbite number one. This is a cool dystopian future where the whole world is frozen over because of a scientific experiment gone wrong. And they have to escape LA. It's a story of a girl and her father trying to seek a cure, but gets caught up in this like bounty hunter type thing, and her and the bounty hunter become friends. And the bounty hunt, well, I don't want to, I'm not up at the level, but we'll explain it in a future episode. We got Detective Comics 66, 68, and 80. This is Two-Face stories, I believe. I was reading through that volume. This was Two-Face Origin, DA, Harvey Dent. Is Harvey Kent. He was named Apollo, became Two-Face, and commits crimes, and sometimes gave to charity. And he was rehabbed at the end of this because of Gilda, who was his girlfriend. At the Green Arrow number 10, it's a train under the Atlantic Ocean that's going from the mysterious island back to Seattle. Eddie Fries murders a diplomat that could cause a war between nations. We have Green Lanterns number 10. That's a 4 out of 5. The Phantom Ring on a new villain in Volthoom. This was a really good. Green Lanterns did well when it focused not on the Green Lanterns, when it focused on other characters. We had Death of Hawkman, really good series. Number 2, Hawkman on the Warpath. Adam Strange does not think Thanagar is behind Sardath's murder, and Alana wants war. She's Adam Strange's wife. We have Fool Killer number 1 from Marvel. An ex vigilante now works for S.H.I.E.L.D. as a psychiatrist, and Red Skull's son is a patient. I like this one. That was really good. Number 4 out of 5 also is Scooby-Doo Team Up. This had Zatanna ask for help to finding her missing father and had many magical guests. Really cool. I think it's Sholly Fish, and he knows his shit when it comes to DC history. Even though this is a kid's book, do not put this book past you because it's really good. X-Men, Uncanny X-Men 1 through 5. This is the volume that's just recently. This had Magneto's team to protect the mutants of Ingenetia. Phantom X and Dynamo are working to take down the organization. Sorry. Who is storing humans, and the Dark Riders are killing the mutant healers. I like when they have these like hunting down the teleporters, hunting down the healers, like strategy guides to take down the mutants. Really enjoyed that. We have Aquaman number 10 as my last 4 out of 5, where Oracle tells Mara about the dark future. She starts to believe it when she goes back to Amnesty Bay. My 5 out of 5s, and this one surprises me, but now I remember why, because Justice League hasn't been one of my favorites. It's had its ups and downs. It's one that I'm really behind in because I just got tired of it. But this issue was pretty awesome. This is when someone takes over the Watchtower, and then and the equipment in the Batcave. This is really cool, and both of them were destroyed. They brought down the Watchtower from space, and then the cave got attacked and blew up. And there's only one death from the Kindred, and the Cyborg and Batman focused with a lot of Alfred. I really like that issue. I gave it a 5 out of 5. I loved it. And then we had Superman number 10, where Damian lures Jonathan to the Batcave, so it's like the Super Sons, and Superman finds out and blast into the cave. So really cool. That was the 5 out of 5s, and then we're gonna go into November 7th through November 13th and wrap this issue up. We had 27 total from that week: 4 Marvel, 18 DC, 1 Aspen, 1 2 Aftershock, 1 Action Lab. So we'll start at the bottom with 3 out of 5s. We got Doom Patrol number 3. This is Casey is part of Danny the Street. You actually find that out. It's pretty interesting. Casey is the female that was introduced in issue one. Danny under attack by Vectra, and the negative energy is affecting Cliff and Larry, which is Negative Man and Robot Man. We had Santera, the Goddess Kiss, number one. A magical being enters the body of a female paramedic. It shows the history of the goddess, and it's pretty dense. I think the density kind of took me out of the story a little bit, and maybe I wasn't totally in the mood for it. So I think it would have been better if I was more in the mood for it because of its density. We have Supergirl number three confronts her father and cyborgs of Argo City with her adopted mother, and then the cyborgs decide to attack Earth. This is her father, who they made Cyborg Superman, which they're changing in the current storyline of Action Comics. You'll see that in the Revenge Squad. Death Force number three and four. This is Zenoscope. It's the like a mystical Punisher type superhero. It's pretty interesting. It wasn't as good as the way it started. Issue one was really good, and then as time went on, it became a little less, in my opinion. We have Civil War II, number five. This is the battle on a shell carrier and the vision of Spider-Man killing Cap, which is kind of still playing a part in the current event. So we'll see what happens with Secret Empire. We have Superwoman number four. She finds out that Lois's ghost is a part of her. Tracy 13, who I really loved in this series, is tells them of the danger from Lena Luthor. And then we have Aryan Headhuntress. This is the R comic. Beautiful painted covers. I mean, they're amazing. And it's a bounty hunter gets a job to rescue a rich king's daughter, like Red Sonja. And this is a 4 out of 5. So we started the 4 out of 5s of Civil War II. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9. This is the when Elektra becomes a leader and brings in Coulson, and Quake and Fitz get away. They're actually working with kind of Coulson. They're being hunted by S.H.I.E.L.D. We have Action Verse featuring the first hero. It's a villain traveling in the multiverse seeking revenge and killing all the worlds he leaves. That was pretty good. Discovers first hero. We have Action Comics number 967, which is Lois Lex interview and two aliens after Lex. They're hunting him down because he is in vision to take over, and Lex has boom tube capabilities. We have Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures number one. This is the IDW one, and it's based on the animated series characters for both franchises. The villains from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Gotham, and the villains from Gotham in New York. We have Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number four, which is Helena's backstory, and she rejoins the birds. That was really good. I remember liking that backstory quite a bit. We have New Superman number five. This book, sometimes I like not hungry to read it, but when I read it, I'm really satisfied. Father and son unite to go after the freedom fighters, and this is the Chinese freedom fighters. Amazing story if you're a freedom fighter fan, and I've talked about this on many episodes. To rescue Wonder Woman, and this is the Chinese Wonder Woman, and Batman, and they usually put dashes between the names to differentiate them. We have Mother Panic number one. It's a new celebrity vigilante in Gotham City who has a senile mother, and she's fighting a villain who is into torture art. And it has a cool backup. If I remember correctly, this has the radio host back. There's a murder over the radio, and it just happens to be like Alfred and a bunch of people listening to it. We have Flash number 10, which is Kid Flash versus Papercut, and is careless and gets into trouble with Iris for skipping school. That's Wally West. The TV Wally West, if you will, goes after the new Shade. And this is the Shade from the Starman series and the Golden Age. So, really cool. We have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 8. This is Hal dead. His ring finds the Guardians. Go to Tomo Rae's world to fight off Starro and find out that Brainiac has them trapped. We have Wacky Raceland. I enjoyed this a lot, the art too. It was the best post-apocalyptic art I've ever seen. And I love the redesigns of the cars if you're familiar with the cartoon. Really cool story. A lot of people didn't like it. Really worked with me. It was my favorite Hanna-Barbera launch title. Got Jackpot number 1, which is a boat heist against the mafia guy being watched by a secret organization. This was Aftershock. We covered this on Geek Brunch that week. Really good story. Enjoyed it. We had Jackpot number. Sorry, that was Jackpot. We have Second Sight number 1. I like this one slightly more. It was a washed-up clairvoyant is trying to protect his daughter, who has abilities taking down, who may have abilities from taking down a 1% evil organization. So it's a real rich organization. We have Joker's Asylum 2, Killer Croc number 1. This is in the Killer Croc trade paperback, even though I own the single. He actually chews off his arm to escape Arkham, gets saved by a criminal couple who use him. He eventually kills them and wants to return to Arkham, which is weird. You know his life was going to shit if he wants to be in Arkham. We have All-Star Batman number 4. This is a Zaz backup with Duke. What else do we have in this one? KGB Beast captures them, but the Two-Face plow allows them to escape again, and shows a lot of Batman gadgets in here. But this is that Two-Face arc. I think it ran through issue 6. Really good start. It kind of petered out on the last issue. We got Red Hood and the Outlaws number 4. This is Jason apprehends Bizarro through kindness. This is really cool. Black Mask uncovers that he knows what Jason Todd is up to. So originally he thought that Jason Todd was trying to join his organization because of his hatred towards Batman, but he finds out what's going on. We have Detective Comics 944, which is the Victim Syndicate, which is comprised of victims because of Batman's intervention and various rogues. They want Batman to unveil and give up his identity and quit being Batman. That has an interesting ending too. We have all new, all different Avengers. This one ranked really high at a 4 out of 5, where most of them are in the 3 out of 5s. But this was Thor seeking guidance for a civil war from Heimdall, who can see into the future. It tells Jane's story of a similar Avengers request. Oh, this was awesome. Yeah. So it's like showing what's currently happening and then another like what happened in the past. That was a good issue. I think this one I really loved. Another highlight was when they featured the Wasp. We have Deathstroke, the 5 out of 5, Deathstroke number 6. He was out on the contract behind Ravager, so he was actually behind the people that were actually hunting his own daughter. Jericho's getting married, which is his son, and Rose's boyfriend, which is Ravager, was the son of a vigilante. So yeah, Wonder Woman number 10. This is year 1. Take Diana out to an outdoor mall, and a terrorist organization attacks in the mall. Some amazing art sequences from Nicola Scott. And then we have another all new, all different Avengers. This is a 5 out of 5, and this was the new Wasp. I think this one was written by the current writer of Unstoppable Wasp, and not Mark Waid. Mark Waid was helping with the plot, but he this guy wrote it, and the new Wasp was being trained by the current Wasp that we all know and love, Janet, and the girl is naive, but she's real generous, and she's also a genius, and gives her some of her backstory about Russia. Really cool story. So that was from 11.7 to 11.13. The 5 out of 5s are Deathstroke number 6, Wonder Woman number 10, All New, All Different Avengers number 14. And the previous week, the only 5 out of 5s were Justice League number 8 and Superman number 10 of the current volumes. So thanks for listening. Please leave an iTunes review if you get a chance, and or send feedback at mike@comicbooknoise.com or at Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter, and I'll get back to you. And if you have any questions for future episodes, let me know. Let me know what you like and what you don't like. And I will hopefully talk to you again in 10 days. I'll try to do one every 10 days and try to knock out two until I get caught up. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.